Wally gets all the housework done, we'll do something else. Hey, thanks, Wally. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know about the rest of you today, but I am filled with the joy of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we talk about Christmas, and we've talked about Advent, and today we're on the third candle, which is the candle of joy. It is amazing how God works things out, isn't it? I knew we were going to baptize the two girls today, that I'm sitting down there at the end of the hallway minding my own business, really, drinking coffee. Somebody had something to say, I understand. That's okay. So I'm sitting down there, and first Isaac comes up, and Isaac said, I asked God to forgive my sins, and then we went from there, and Isaac asked Christ to come into his life and be his Savior. So then Jerry and Christopher happened to walk down. I don't believe in circumstance. I don't believe in chance. I believe that God directs our lives. And so I'd been talking to Jerry over the last few weeks about Christopher. And so I began to talk to Christopher, and Jerry kind of moseyed away, which was good. And Christopher's very shy. And I was talking to Christopher, and we talked about the things of God. And so Christopher prayed, asked God to forgive his sins, and asked Jesus to come into his life. And so you talked about having your joy kicked up a few notches. And so I'm exceedingly joyful today, and I need to get finished early. I know you all know that I'm only going to preach 10 minutes today. Right, Wally? Good luck. Years ago, I had a lady that told me, I preach till I run out of words. Well, she was wrong, because I never run out of words. But anyway, two candles prior to today were the candle of hope and the candle of peace. We have hope only in Jesus Christ. And when this life is over, the hope is that, and I'm not talking about a wish, I'm talking about the absolute assurance that our hope is in Him, and that we have the hope of eternal life because of what He's done for us. Last week we talked about peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that we can enjoy when Christ is our Savior and we are resting in Him. Today we're going to talk about joy. The traditional reading for the Sunday of joy is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How is it that we live that verse? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes? Rejoice in the Lord once in a while? The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. Regardless of what's happening in our lives. Regardless of circumstances. Regardless of people who are maybe doing things to offend us, and you can refuse to be offended, by the way. Life doesn't always seem fair, and it's not always fair. And that's one of the things we taught our kids growing up. Life is not always fair. Deal with it. And so we can do that through Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How many of you have been out shopping already? None of you have been out shopping? Is it true that every woman in this place should raise their hands? I'm not just picking on women. I'll talk about guys too. You've been shopping, Wally? I think one of Rick's email addresses is We Be Shopping. Is that right? So I'm sure that he's out. Well, he's been not feeling well. But the Christmas season for some is filled with joy. But I think it's an external joy. We have joy at seeing the lights, presents, the tree, singing the songs, getting together with family and friends. And that brings us joy. But I want to remind us, too, that the Christmas season is not always filled with joy. Sometimes things happen, and we grieve those who have gone on before, those who have passed. This is a time when you always remember the circumstances, what's going on in your life. My grandmother, whose favorite season was Christmas, died 2 days before Christmas. My mother died 10 days after Christmas. Diane's dad died right after Christmas. And we never go through a time when we don't remember those things. As a matter of fact, coming home from somewhere the other night, we got talking about Christmas at Mom's, and I began to cry. Because that is so real. But at the same time that I grieve, I still grieve my mom after 20 years, at the same time, I have joy at knowing that she is with the Lord in heaven, and one day I'll be with her again. That is the joy that we can experience as Christians. You know, sometimes Christmas is that time of loneliness, grieving, but Jesus came that we might have joy. Sometimes the first situation steals our joy because the world is dragging us in to what they think is really joy. The second sometimes exists because we sometimes focus on personal things, when in fact, those are important, but we need to focus on the one who came to give his life for us, the joy that Jesus brings us. It's a celebration, isn't it? Christmas is a celebration of the birth of the Savior. And we need to celebrate regardless of what's going on in our lives. Maybe your family will be home this week, or Christmas, maybe they won't. But we can celebrate because of who Jesus is. We need to celebrate not only his birth, but we ought to celebrate his death as well. They are interconnected. You can't separate one from the other. Jesus came as God with us, Emmanuel. He came born of a virgin, but he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And by the way, if we ask about who was lost, I raise my hand because I'm right there. Jesus came for the sole reason of saving Tom. Now, you can put your own name in there, can't you? For God so loved who? The world? Georgia? Amelia? That's an amazing thing, by the way, girls. God loved them so much that he came and gave his life so that we might have life in him. Y'all believe that? Amen. Jesus came to reconcile us to God because of our sin. Our sin had separated us, and God chose to reconcile us to himself through the birth, the life, the death and resurrection of the Savior. Joy. How you doing this week? How you doing this Christmas season? Are you filled with joy? Be honest. Be honest, because we're not always filled with joy. Sometimes I think we could get happiness and joy confused. Happiness is based on external things. Whether things are going right. If I get the right present. By the way, I already got mine, just to let you know. But if things go well, my favorite cookies are made, my favorite pie is made, all of those things affects my happiness. How my kids are doing, how the church is doing, how you are doing, all those things affect my happiness. But let one of those things go wrong, and all of a sudden I start to gripe and grumble and moan. But my joy is not based on stuff. My joy is based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then your joy is false. Something that we need to remember is that Christmas is the good news of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus came to seek and save. One of the things about joy is that, let me read the scripture first. Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Christmas means that Jesus brought the joy of salvation. Psalm 51:12 says, David writes, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Now, I want you to know that that was written right after David had sinned with Bathsheba. And when God convicted him of his sin and he repented, he cries out to God, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Think back on the day you were saved. Can you think back that far? I'm just asking. This year I've been saved 47 years. I'm only 45, David. How could it be 47 years? But I can remember how I felt when I was first saved. How excited I was. Do I feel that way today? Am I still experiencing that same joy in my life? Because if I'm not, then there's a problem in my relationship with God. Joy means to possess with pleasure, to exhilarate. Do you feel exhilarated today? Listen, we just saw baptism, didn't we? We talked about two young boys giving their lives to Christ. We talked about we're going to baptize them next week. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. We need to be excited. We need to feel that, excuse me, that exhilaration that comes because of what God's doing in our lives. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So when we get to the place where we sense that things are going wrong and our lives are not what they need to be and we've walked away from God, we can pray and confess that sin and repent and say the same thing that David did: God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Joy is the result of that salvation. It's produced by the Holy Spirit when He comes to indwell us. Isaac this morning talked about the Holy Spirit living in him. Now, that's a six-year-old boy. And if a six-year-old boy has a grasp on what God has done, shouldn't the rest of us? The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. And that's what we celebrate at Advent, anticipating the Lord's coming. The fruit of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When the wise men came and saw that things were just as they had been told, said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Now, I don't know about you, but there is a little song that goes along with that. I'm not going to sing it today. Well, yeah. But it said, the part of the song says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When we think of Christmas, do we rejoice with great joy? It is an amazing thing that God has done for us. The joy that comes as we celebrate the birthday of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, anybody ever get excited enough they want to just start bouncing around? Now, I'm not going to do that because then you all call me charismatic, right, Gene? Gene's back there. By the way, I've always thought we ought to be Bapticostals. We may not be Pentecostals, but we need to be Baptists. We need to show some excitement once in a while. Don't you agree? We need to get excited about certain things, and if you can't get excited about the birth of the King, there's something wrong. He's not only the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, and He needs to be the Lord of your life. Those of us who have trusted Him as our Savior need to enthrone Him and follow Him, be obedient to Him. And that's part of the joy too, walking with God on a daily basis. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no true joy without salvation. No true joy without salvation. Happiness, but not joy. And there is no true salvation without joy. Think about that. No true joy without salvation, and no true salvation without joy. So God's people, those who have trusted Him by faith, who have received Christ, ought to be characterized by what? Joy. That ought to be out here. People need to see us living like that. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday or whatever they call that? Anybody go shopping on Black Friday? Now, let me ask you this. Even for believers, were they out there living their lives in joy, or were they having a little fight to get to the stuff they wanted? Have you ever watched those videos of people running into each other and fighting and pulling on stuff and throwing punches and doing all those things at Christmas time? You know what? There's something wrong with that. And if believers are involved in that, shame on you. That's why I stay at home. Because I'm going to knock somebody out of the way to get that television. No, I'm just teasing. Kinda. But do we experience the joy that Jesus brings? Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb did what? Leaped for joy because that baby, John the Baptist, was in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The baby leaped for joy." Can that categorize our lives? Can we say that we get excited about Jesus? That joy is real in our lives? Have you ever leapt for joy? Have you? You all know that I am a fanatic Ohio State football fan. Fanatic. I'm crazy about it. But do you think that when I'm at home watching that game, or when I'm in the stadium watching that game, when something happens that I don't jump up and go, "Woohoo!" Do you think that's possible, David? Because when things happen, when bad things happen, I yell at the TV. But when good things happen, I leap for joy. Yes! How much more should I leap for joy because of Jesus? You know, that football game, I learned a long time ago, when that football game's over, win, lose, that doesn't matter in eternity. It does not matter. But what matters in eternity is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And every time someone gives their lives to Christ, I will never in my life forget each person that I've seen come to Christ in this church. Because it is the greatest miracle of all. When a person is drawn by the Holy Spirit to faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe I'm going to remember it even a little bit more, because I'm kind of winding down here, aren't I? 3 weeks left. Yucks. But anyway, I said, you remember when I baptized Bella? What did I say when I baptized Bella? That's the last baptism. That's the last baptism. I guess what I meant was it was the last baptism of someone who was saved in Bible school. But since then, we've baptized several people, haven't we? We have two more next week, and maybe one after that. So God is blessing us in an amazing way. And that joy that comes only through Jesus ought to fill us. I can tell you that I always like to have someone who's recently received Christ as their Savior tell somebody else. So it just so happened that Deb and Belinda were coming down the hallway. And Isaac went to them and told them what he had done. How'd you respond, Deb? Oh. But I think Deb kissed him about 100 times. Belinda did the same thing because they were filled with the joy of the Lord. And I can remember I took Christopher. And we were going to tell people. And the first person I took Christopher to was Brenda. And Brenda said, "This is the best Christmas present I've ever gotten." And then we looked for others. His dad was hiding. I don't know where Jerry had gone, but he was hiding. But we told Deb and we told others. And people rejoiced of what God was doing in their lives. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to seek and to save. And we, by faith in Him, trusting Him as our Savior, have that same, or we need to have that same joy. Do you? What's gotten in the way? What's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of the joy that only Jesus comes? Remember, if there's no joy, there is no real salvation. And if there is no salvation, there cannot be real joy. Jesus came to bring us joy. How you doing with that? I'm going to keep asking you that. How you doing with this stuff? You walk around and people, their chins are dragging. I understand that there are temporary things in our lives that drag us down, but if we're born again, if we know Jesus Christ, get your eyes up and rejoice in Him because of what He's done. John chapter 15, verse 11 says this, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Through our relationship with Christ, His joy is in us. And if he gives us that joy, can anyone take that away? The only thing that could remove that is God Himself, and He has promised never to do that. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will continue it to the day of Jesus Christ." Joy is given to us by God, and no one and nothing can take that away. The question is then, do you know Christ as your Savior? Can you experience that joy, or have you experienced the joy that He brings? You know, there's counterfeit joy, and then there is the real thing. Something else about joy leads to proclamation. We proclaim the gospel because of the joy that is within us. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I know I read this a few minutes ago, but in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy." Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. How are all the people going to hear this if we don't share? The angels proclaimed to the shepherds that the Savior was coming. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign." And what happened with the shepherds? They went and immediately proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Immediately. By the way, I was talking to Wally yesterday, and sometime in the next year he's going to preach from the Gospel of Mark. And the most important word, one of the most important words or phrases in the Gospel of Mark is immediately. When we hear the new good news of the gospel, we should respond immediately. When we are filled with the joy, we need to respond immediately and sharing that with others. They proclaim. Look at verse 15. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." The shepherds told people about what they had seen, what they had experienced. So I guess, do we? Do we tell others about what we've experienced? There are a whole lot of people that you run into every day who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can they see Him in you? Do you, once in a while at least, open your mouth and tell others about Him? Isn't that what joy brings? Joy should bring proclamation. When the shepherds heard, they made known. When we're experiencing that same joy, we need to make known the source of our joy, why we experience that joy, and it is only because of Jesus and what He's done for us. Sharing the good news. By the way, when this service is over, I think Ken said something about it this morning, but GRIN, Gehanna Residents in Need, is using our fellowship hall today to hand out food baskets for Christmas. GRIN is closely united with the ministerial association here. And I can tell you this, people who pick up food baskets today will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our responsibility? It is, we need to help. We need to do what we can, but at the same time, the most important need anyone has is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We can make Christmas better, but we can't make Christmas complete without the Savior. Jesus brings joy with salvation, joy leads to proclamation, and joy also leads to praise. Do we ever praise God out of obligation? Do we ever praise God half-heartedly? Is it possible sometimes that we are apathetic when we come to praise God, that we just go through the stuff? What a difference it would make if each of us would come to praise God and we were filled with the joy of the Lord. If we realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and no matter what's going on around us, we can have that joy because of who Jesus is and what He's done in our lives. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is the song of Mary. It's often called the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him. From generation to generation He has shown His strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever. Mary is rejoicing over what God had done in her life. Do we? Do we stop and rejoice in what God has done in our lives? Or do we just sometimes go through the motions? What is it that God has done for you? Is it possible that sometimes we major on the negatives, when in fact we ought to be majoring on what God has done? There's a hymn in our hymnal. I love to sing it. I'd sing it almost every day along with another one if I thought I'd get away with it and you all wouldn't get sick of it. Count your blessings. Are you familiar with that hymn? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So in those times you're feeling negative, start counting your blessings. What is it that you're thankful for today? What is it that you can thank God for today, that you can rejoice in today? Jim Corder comes into my room, my office every Sunday morning, and we talk. And I can remember when Jim was saying, I need work. I haven't had any work for a while. And then what happened? So now God brings more work than He can handle. Can you rejoice in that? Can you rejoice in the fact that you have a home and food on a table and a car that starts most of the time when you come to church and a computer that works every once in a while? The little things. I am rejoicing. My wife has stuck it out with me for 46 years. I'm rejoicing that all these things that I sometimes look as being not enough, that God blesses me through those things. I ask people sometimes, well, what's God doing in your life? And then sometimes people say, well, I'm up on my feet today. You can thank God for that, can't you? You ever been sick in bed with the flu, for crying out loud? Or with something else? You shiver and then you get too hot. And then you get, you shiver again, you get too hot. But I can rejoice in that even because I'm still alive. And even if this life is over, I can still rejoice because I am in heaven with Him forever. You know, what is it that we cannot find reason to rejoice? Luke chapter 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told him. They returned doing what? Glorifying and praising God. Anybody ever listen to people when they pray in this church? I mean, do you really listen to them? Or do you listen to people when they pray other places? It is unusual if Jerry Mullins doesn't close his prayer this way, that we would do all for the glory of God. Shouldn't that be our prayer, that we would do all for the glory of God? Whatever it is. You know, by the way, if we are doing all for the glory of God, there are some things we're not going to do. Just throwing that in there. We need to praise God. We need to experience the real joy of Christmas, the joy that results from our salvation. Jerry and Brenda, how are you feeling today? Joy? This is not an easy time of the season either. But we have joy in the realization of who Christ is. And from this point on, you will always remember that Christopher gave his life to Christ at Christmas. I can't think of a better thing. I cannot think of a better thing. The joy that Jesus brings in our salvation is the joy that leads us to proclaim the gospel. It is the joy that leads us to praise our Lord and Savior. My question, I've asked this a few times today. Are you filled with joy this season? Are you overwhelmed with the joy that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because we should be. Because God is good, Christ has come. And salvation is ours for the asking. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Salvation is there for anyone who asks for it. You know, we're also told in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. Christmas is all about joy, because joy comes from Jesus, and Christmas is all about Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that we can have the joy that passes.